And as it's just now the top of the hour, I'd like to get started by introducing our speaker today. Our presenter, Ron Simpson, is a lead concierge specialist at Vinci. Ron, can I turn things over to you?
Yes, Rob. Thanks so much. Let me just get that going here. All right. My name is Ron Simpson, and today's cyber seminar is basically about what's new in DART. If you haven't been in DART before, DART is our Data Access Request Tracker, and that is the application that you use to look for data for IRB research studies. So let's jump into a poll real quick. Rob?
Okay. That poll is up, and the question is, how familiar are you with starting a DART request? Ron, these are tough words for my Boston accent. You have about 30 to 35% of your viewers voted, so it's rising quickly up over 50%, so we'll leave it open for a few more moments, give people a chance to make their choice. Yeah, up over 60. And again, the question, how familiar are you with starting a DART request? Answer options being, I submit them often. I watch someone start a DART request. I have never started a DART request. And I would like to learn what is needed to start a DART request. And things have leveled off at around 70%. So I'm going to go ahead and close the poll and share out the results. And Ron, 47% of your attendees say that they submit them often. 13% say that they've watched someone do it, 22% say that they have never started a DART request, and 19% say that they'd like to learn what is needed. And we are now on your slides again.
Okay. Well, we've got a good variety of answers there. What I can do is I can start today by telling you what we have new in DART. And what we've done is we've created the new data source additions that you can see on the screen here. We've got the bereaved family survey, and that is the data that it provides data about families, or I'm sorry, about how families perceive the care deceased veterans receive from VA patient facilities during the last month of life for veterans who died in inpatient in any VA hospital nationwide. We also have our RAI/MDS data, and I'm just going over a quick overview of this. You'll be able to find more information from our VHA data portal. But the RAI is VA uses the Resident Assessment Instrument, standardized assessment and treatment planning process to identify functional status and healthcare needs of residents in the VHA's community living centers. The MDS portion of that is called the minimum data set and is a core set of screening, clinical, and functional status elements that forms the foundation of the comprehensive assessment. So those are two of the new data sources. We also have the traumatic brain injury screening and evaluation data. Now, all veterans that were in Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom, and Operation New Dawn receive medical care from the VA, and they must be screened for possible TBIs, or traumatic brain injuries. So veterans with positive screens are offered a comprehensive TBI evaluation and treatment by clinicians with expertise in TBIs or traumatic brain injuries. We also have the ADUSH enrollment files, and those can be used to produce national statistics on VHA expenditures, enrollment, and patients. They can be used to develop statistical models to forecast enrollment and expenditures. And they can also perform policy analysis to support planning, policy and budget decisions by the VA, the President, and Congress. And then lastly, we do have paid data available, and that's via our CDW domain checklist. It has not been put yet on the DART data sources page as a full data source, and that has some additional needs to be able to put into your DART request that I'll go over here shortly. In DART, and those of you who have put in previous DART requests, you've noticed that when you put in the PI as a participant, you have to had to check both notifications and data access. We've made the PI notifications optional now, so that the study coordinator may be the one who gets the notifications and passes that information on to the rest of the study team. Here are the links to the VHA data portal for each of the new data sources that I had talked about on the previous screen. When you get the slides, these are hyperlinked to the VHA data portal, so you can read more about what the data sets involve. Now, I talked about the paid data extra information that you need on the domain checklist. So there's a couple of different things that need to be done because of the sensitivity of this type of data. And so in the DART research request memo, you need to provide a description of the specific types of data that will be needed for the paid domain, and then the reasons why you actually need that for the study. And then you have the option in number 2 and 3 of putting a clear description of the intent to access the paid data, including the types of data needed from the domain there, and why they're necessary for your study. An amendment to the protocol may be necessary if this information is not already present. And that can also be within the IRB or Privacy Board approval letter or approved waiver of HIPAA authorization that includes a description of the data from the paid domain that's necessary for the study, that the information requested is the minimum necessary for your research purposes. We do have some things coming to DART. I don't have an ETA on any of this. However, it is in the works. And a lot of you have noticed, at least the 44% who have been putting in DART requests a lot, if you use anything other than Internet Explorer, you come up with a few problems. So we're looking at the new Microsoft Edge compatibility, and Microsoft Edge is a browser that Microsoft came up with in the Windows 10 environment. So if you do come across a problem with uploading documents or being able to submit documents, more than likely you're in Microsoft Edge. And if you just switch over to Internet Explorer for the time being, you'll be able to complete your DART request. And we also have, as of January 31st of this year, we have new common rules. And those can be things for exempt studies and other new common rules that have come out. And so we are in the works of putting together DART, the wizard, so that we can actually bring those new common rules in and put them in DART correctly. More on that will be coming down the line. I don't know if some of you know about the option to create a common folder. That's when you have your own data and you'd like to use Vinci as a storage location and use our statistical tools to be able to work on your project. Well, right now you have to email Vinci at va.gov to access and ask for a common folder. We're going to put that into Dart so that it makes it easier for all parties involved. And so that's going to be something that's coming in the future as well. Now we're also going to include a study closure procedure. A lot of times that is a question that a lot of researchers have is how do I close my Dart? How do I close my study? And we're going to make it easy for you and put that into Dart as well. Now, right now, if you go in, do an amendment, and you find out that, oh, well, I didn't really want to do what I put in the narrative originally. I actually wanted to do this. Right now, you have to email us at vinci@va.gov, and we can actually change the amendment narrative for you. However, we're going to put the ability for you to amend the narrative text on a Dart request into Dart as well. Again, that's going to make life easier for everybody. Now, we do have another data source that's on hold right now because we need documentation on it before we can release it, but it's the U.S. Vets data source. Like, I don't have a lot of information on it right now because we do need that documentation, but that is coming down the line. And also we're going to add the addition of the VA username next to the participant name on the Dart participants page. The reason for that is several different things. It helps us internally see and make sure that the username is indeed affiliated with the proper location that is in Dart, and then also for our system administrators to be able to process some of your help tickets on a quicker basis than we're able to get to now. So I'm going to go into the Dart demo that I normally do and just talk about some of these new things that are in Dart and what they look like actually in Dart. So this should look familiar to a lot of people, and those of you who have not put in a Dart request, this is the first page of the 5-page wizard, as we call it, within Dart. You can see across the top it says information, participants, data, documents, and then the submit. Now, in this first information box, you're going to see in the upper left-hand corner your Dart Dart tracking number. Sorry about that. You're going to see what the actual name of the study is. And then in the activity information area, you're going to see you can put in a short name. That can be the same name as what your official name of the study is. You'll have your IRB number from your IRB approval letter, which will also include an expiration date. The IRB is good for 1 year. And then you'll do continuing reviews after that as your study needs to continue. You put in the start date of when you basically started the study, and then you can put an anticipated end date into the study. And we're going to make this screen a little bit look a little bit different as well, depending on whether you have an exempt IRB determination or not, as well as any other common rules that we're going to put in. So on the next page, we'll go to the participants page, and apparently I didn't put a slide in for that, so I didn't send you the right slides, Rob. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry. Ron, I have a question that for clarification. I'm sorry to interrupt. Somebody's asking, does paid refer to the data that is now part of the PITT community care claims data?
To be honest with you, I don't know a lot about the paid data yet. So I'm not really sure if I can answer that question honestly. However, I can get an answer for you.
Okay, sorry to interrupt.
No problem. Okay, so if we were on the participants page, which we're not, you would see that the username would, I'm sorry, the participant's name and the location of the participant would be noted on that. I greatly apologize for missing that slide. So let's move on to the data sources. The data source page is actually quite long, so I have it broken up into a couple of different slides. Now, on the data storage location at the top, you can click Vinci, which allows you to access the Vinci workspace and all of the tools available as well to you. You can also check your local VA server location, and that would be a server location that is located on your particular VA campus and where you can store the data as well on your campus. You can also check both of them to be able to upload and download data to a local server or Vinci, depending on what you're working on and how you're working on the study. The next question for the data sources is, will data be transferred external to the VHA? In most cases, the answer is no on this particular question, just because you're not sending VA data outside of the actual VHA. However, if you do plan to send data outside, a data use agreement is needed, and that is set up between the entity and National Data Systems, who is the approving authority over what data you're allowed to get and what data you're allowed to transfer. Now, the next portion of things are the identifiers. Nothing has really changed here. We've still got the real SSN, and that does require an extra document that will go to both your IRB and your ACOS of research to be signed. That particular identifier is needed on several different of the data sources, such as CAPRI and JLV access, and TIU text notes, because you may come across real Social Security numbers within those notes. Now, if you don't need real SSN, you can use either of the other two identifiers, and the next one would be scrambled Social Security number, and the next would be identifiable data but no real or scrambled SSNs, and that's going to be your patient ICN number. This is the next portion of the data access page, and this is where you can request different data sources from such things as CDW. You can see that we have CDW production domains, which are updated nightly, and then we have CDW raw domains that are updated on a schedule, and that schedule can be found on our Vinci Central website. We also have cost data from MCA, formerly DSS, from CDW. We have MedSAS files, including the VetsNet files, TIU text notes, again, which require real SSN approval, and vital status files. Now, as you see, the SAS format underneath there is no longer available. That's also something that we plan to clean up. Now, this is where you can see some of the new data sources, and I've got a few of them checked, like the Bereaved Family Survey and the GEC RAI MDS and the TBI screening and evaluation data. When you're in DART now, these are hyperlinked to the VHA data portal. So you can just hover over, say, the Bereaved Family Survey and click on that, and that'll take you out to the portal and give you a lot more information about the data set and what it can and can't be used for. The same with any of the other ones that are marked in blue. Now, you'll see that I did not check the Million Veterans Program data source. That is only available for MVP approved studies. So unless you're an MVP study, that's not something that you would ever check. And this is the bottom of the data access page. basically asks if you want SAS Grid access, which is going to be a better resource if you're using SAS than just using our SAS Enterprise Edition within Vinci. The SAS Grid is a variety of SAS servers that are all connected together and provide a great load balance so that it's much more efficient to use the SAS Grid than the Enterprise Edition. Lastly, the two questions that are always something that people have questions on. Does your study require informed consent and HIPAA authorization? And then does your study require a HIPAA waiver? In most cases, your study is going to require a HIPAA waiver so that you can actually access the veterans' identifiable information. Now, the informed consent and HIPAA authorization, that is something that, let's say you are doing a clinical trial recruitment, for example, and you're going to be sending letters out to prospective veterans for getting their consent to actually work, you know, in the trial and become part of it. That's where you would check yes. Well, one of the examples of where you would check yes to the informed consent and HIPAA authorization. So next we go to our documents page. And this is where it's going to ask for several different documents. The main documents being that you have your IRB approval letter, your research and development committee approval letter, your HIPAA waiver, and or your informed consent. And then you'll also see that we need on the top here a research request memo. And basically what that is a summary of what you're going to be doing with your study. You'll write a summary on this memo that says, you know, what data you're going to be using and why. If you're using real SSNs, you do need to provide a justification for that, such as, you know, you're going to use Capri and Joint Legacy Viewer for electronic health records on a national level. That basically is your justification for real SSN if that is what you're doing. There's an upload button on the right-hand side for each document that is needed. You simply click on that, and it'll bring up a browse window, so you can browse anywhere on your computer to find the correct document and upload that document. Now, we do get questions sometimes of, I uploaded the wrong document in the wrong spot. Well, all you need to do is go back in here, and as long as you have not submitted the DART yet, you can actually click the upload button again, and it will, you can upload the proper document in the right spot, and it'll just go over the top of the incorrect document. So it'll version them, and NDS, National Data Systems, when they go to do the approvals and go through that process, they will look at the different versions. They'll look at the most recent version, obviously, first. And so this screen is also broken up into a couple of different, here's the rest of the document screen. So I talked about the Research and Development Committee approval letter. You'll want to upload that. The waiver of HIPAA-compliant authorization. You'll always upload your research protocol that you have submitted to your IRB for approval to go forward with the project. Then we have our CDW domain checklist. Now that's back on the data sources page where if you check either CDW production domains, CDW raw domains, or both, you have a variety of different domains that you can click on, such as inpatient, outpatient, labs, things like that. It's a pretty extensive list. And so you'll pick the domains that you want and you can upload it there. Now, if you don't know what the domains that CDW has, we actually have a service through our Vinci Services team that they can provide what's called a data needs assessment, or just DNA. And you can email your protocol and your inclusion and exclusion criteria to vinci@va.gov and ask for a data needs assessment based on what you're trying to do with your study. And we have data specialists that are phenomenal at what they do, and they will come back with basically a domain checklist of what you need and provide that information for you as well. And then lastly, the two other uploads are for the program office for the BFS data, the bereaved family survey. That data requires an additional document, as well as the GEC RAI MDS data. So again, you'll upload those documents. And once you upload those documents, it'll show a date and time stamp. And this is where I've uploaded the research request memo last month on the 22nd. Gives a date and time stamp there and tells who uploaded it, which was myself here. Now I can view the memo here to make sure that I have the correct document loaded in this spot. And if I don't have the correct document, you can just click the upload button and browse for the correct document, upload it over the top of what you have here. And that goes the same with any of the documents that you have within Dart. So the rest of the screen, again, is broken up due to the size of the screen. But again, you can view and upload all of your different documents. And in this case, I just uploaded one document, so they all say V1 when I had uploaded them. So that's a quick demo of how Dart works. This is the last page of the Dart demo. And this is where you actually would click the big blue box that says Submit Request once you feel everything is completed in your Dart application. Now at that point, it's going to go out to National Data Systems, and they're going to go through several layers of approval processes. And those layers of approval processes depend on the complexity of your DART request, such as if you have a real SSN access and you've asked for that, that's going to be an additional level of approval. So, you'll get an email as long as you have notifications checked on the participants page. You will get an email each time the request has gone through the next layer of approval. And so you'll finally get an email that says NDS final review has been approved. Once you get that email, you will get our automated process will start in the background, and you'll end up getting a couple of emails. You're going to get a welcome to Vinci email that basically tells you you now have access to Vinci. And you'll also get an email with a project correspondence site. And that correspondence site is going to be a SharePoint where you can talk with your Vinci data manager that's assigned to your project, and they will help create your cohort and pull the views and tables of the different data domains that you have requested. So that'll all be done in the background, and once you get those emails, then you're basically up and running and you can start your work on the actual study itself. My next slide has to do with some tips and tricks. There's a lot of nuances within DART, and I'd like to give you a little bit of help here. So a lot of people ask, when do I need to update my research request memo? And the answer to that is if you are adding participants to the study, if you're removing participants from the study, and if you're adding any new data sources, let's say an amendment, each of those need to be updated on the research request memo and signed off by the PI as well, so that NDS is aware of what are the new things that are going on. So if you're being very specific in your amendment narrative, that really helps in the time that your DART request is approved. That way the approvers at National Data Systems don't have to go digging all over the place to try to find, you know, what has changed. So my recommendation is to be very specific on that. Now, if you're doing just an IRB continuing review, a lot of you know what that means, is each year you have to provide the IRB's approval for another year of research. Well, you do not need to update the research request memo if you're just updating your IRB continuing review. So on your amendment narrative, you can just say something to the point of updating activity information page for one more year of IRB continuing review, something of that nature. Just, you know, be specific and go in, do the changes, upload the new IRB approval letter, and at that point, then you can submit the request. A lot of people ask, are digital signatures required? For the most part, it is easier to do so. However, if you're having a hard time pinning down a PI or ACOS of research or something of that sort, a wet signature is okay. So, at this point, we do not have an all-digital signature requirement. That could change down the road, and probably will, but as it is now, either way is fine. People ask what a change request is. and how do they see it? And a change request is from the reviewers at National Data Systems on your DART request, and they'll find something that's either out of the ordinary or needs fixed. And in the communication box of DART, it's in the upper right-hand corner, you can actually click on that communication and see what the change request is. And they'll spell it out basically exactly what you need to do. And oftentimes it can be something as, please add the name of the new person that you're adding to the study from this amendment. You just simply need to list their names and whether they're a VA employee, a walk or without compensation, or a contractor. A lot of people obviously will change their last name, and how do I update this in DART? So when you change your last name in the VA, you may or may not get a username change. If you don't get a username change, then you don't really have to update anything in DART if the name just still looks the same on the screen. However, if you get a different username, you're not going to be able to see your DART request anymore on your dashboard as soon as that username changes in Active Directory. So what you need to do is you can have one of your colleagues, a research coordinator, or your principal investigator go in and delete the, quote, old you, and then add you with your new name. And at that point, it's just an amendment, and then you would update your name on the research request memo, and then you could submit that request. Now, the more difficult one here is I move stations. How do I update this DART? Well, when you move, you will get a new username. And so once you get to your new station, you will also need to contact your research coordinator, someone on your DART team, or the principal investigator, and they'll also need to provide an amendment to the DART itself and basically delete the old you, add in the new you, but you also need to add in your new station. Now, what that's going to do in DART is that's going to prompt the new user to have IRB approval, R and Research and Development Committee approval, and either a HIPAA waiver and informed consent, depending on what your DART needs. You'll need to get that from your new station. So essentially it becomes, in the eyes of DART, a multi-site study. So there's a little bit more work involved in something like that. And if you have questions about that particular scenario, you can certainly contact us at vinci@va.gov and let us know what we can do to try to help you. And then we do have a new process for a PI change. So how do you update this in DART? Well, again, this is going to be an amendment where you would go in and you would actually change the PI name. If the old PI is on there and is no longer going to be on the study, you can delete them. You can add the new PI as a participant, or if they're already a participant, you can change that on the participant screen. And that's something we can help you do as well through our concierge service. So if you have questions about that, you can let us know. So once the PI is changed and the DART is approved, it goes through four more steps after that behind the background that will change the name of your folder and make sure that all of your participants are put into the new folder and a few other things behind the scenes. So we'll take care of that portion of it, but we will need to do have you do an amendment and get the PI actually changed. And again, like I said, our concierge service can help with that. That's about all I have today so far. So let's go ahead and open it up to questions.
Okay, we have a number of them. First up, a checkbox in the TIU domain. A person is saying the documentation says only the metadata is available, but someone told this person that the full text of the CPRS notes is also available. Can you comment on that, Ron?
I've actually never seen the TIU notes themselves, but what I understand is they are basically free-form notes from different providers that will contain a lot of different information. The information from CPRS and Vista is what's fed each night into CDW domains. And so in most cases, you're going to want to look in both the TIU text notes and CDW to look for the data that you're trying to find.
Okay, thank you. I need to remind people that if you want to enter a question, there's a specific area in the GoToWebinar dashboard called the questions pane. Just click on the triangle and it'll open up and you can type your question right in. Next up, what expiration date do we need to put in for the studies transferred to new common rules?
Okay, for the time being right now, we are tracking exempt studies, and the expiration date that we put in is, let me see, I believe it's May 2nd, 2050. So, yes, May 2nd, 2050. And you'll, I believe you need to actually type that in as opposed to using the boxes, the drop-down box. However, I haven't tested it lately. But yes, the May 2nd, 2050 is what you want to put in for exempt studies. And that way we can track those studies until we get the common rules put into DART, and we'll make sure that, you know, we have everything done correctly then. So that's the magic date, May 2nd, 2050.
Thank you. For umbrella studies, how are those handled in DART? Would they be better handled using the ORD common folder access?
The ORD common folder access is going to be only for data that you already have and that you want to upload into Vinci to utilize you know, the workspace and the applications. To ask for new data, DART is the way to go. And when I say DART, DART as it is right now. Those new common rules eventually will be put into DART, and at that time I'll probably end up doing another cyber seminar to show these new techniques of how we're expanding DART. We're trying to make it easier for the research community to be able to utilize DART in ways that can make it a lot easier for them and not have to necessarily wait on somebody else to help create these types of things.
Okay, thank you. For the DNA, is there any limitation?
As far as limitations go, you want to put in, if you have a copy of your protocol, of course, your inclusion and exclusion criteria, date ranges, station numbers, things of that sort, and, CPT codes, any information that will help the data specialists be able to easily find the data domains that you need. The more the better, but maybe not a book.
Okay. What would you click if consent was not required due to research being exempt, but HIPAA is required because no justification criteria for the waiver is met?
Oh, that's a good one. I actually have an email out right now trying to find out what is needed for the exempt study and the HIPAA waiver portion of it. I've been given a document before for a certificate of exemption. But we have a policy person that we've reached out to find out more of exactly what is and isn't allowed with the new common rules there. So I don't have an explicit answer for you right now, but that is something that you can certainly email me at, just at vinci@va.gov. And that's something that I can follow up for you.
Great. Thanks, Ron. Is there an easy how-to access your data once your DOT request has been approved?
Yes. On Vinci Central, we have several different places where you can look at small short videos to see a tutorial about how to access DaVinci Workspace. We have more in-depth user guides to read as well to show how to access DaVinci Workspace as well. Essentially, you're just remote desktoping into another server there. And so it's something that we have, like I said, we have very good instructions on it. Whether you're a visual person or you'd like to read it, we have several options there.
Okay. Are there any reminders sent out from the system to upload the IRB continuing review letter?
At this time, no. I don't foresee something like that actually happening because, I'm just going to leave it as right now, that's not something that the system does. However, I am going to put that in to our NDS Vinci group and talk about maybe putting something like that in Dart if it's something that we actually could do. So that's a great that's a great question, and I'm going to pose that to leadership.
Great, thank you. You said there is/will be a means for closing a study. This is still forthcoming. When can it be expected? How should we proceed in the meantime, and will that process trigger a closure across Vinci?
Okay, so it has not been instituted yet in Dart. That is a future feature that will be coming down the road. For now, if you want to close the study, you can gain a letter from your IRB saying that the study is indeed closed. And you can amend your DART with the narrative of closing study with IRB closure letter. And at that point, then that would be considered closing the study, and Vinci would take appropriate actions at that time. Basically shut down access to the data and so on and so forth.
Thank you. When moving stations under an operations-only project, is there any issue since R&D and IRB are not needed for operations projects?
Yeah, operations studies are a whole different beast. So as far as moving stations there, you would just need to contact your point of contact for the study on the operations side to let them know of any changes. But as far as, you know, IRB and R&D approvals for operation studies, they don't exist. So that's not something that you're going to have to worry about.
Okay. Most of our industry-sponsored protocols are a minimum 150 pages. These are okay to upload for DNA?
Sure. Caveat there, if you could put in the page numbers of, you know, please reference these page numbers because they have the most data that you're looking for, you know, for our data specialist to then try to look through things. You know, 150 pages is not unheard of, but if you can help the data specialist in hunting for the information that they need, that would be very welcome.
Another person is asking you to repeat the date needed to use as the IRB expiration date for studies that fall under the new common rule.
That would be May 2nd, 2050.
Okay, May 2, 2050. Send that in to everybody. And that, Ron, was the final question that we have queued up. So at this time, I'd like to give you an opportunity to make closing comments.
Well, I certainly appreciate everybody attending today. We at Vinci are doing our best to continually create workflows that are beneficial to yourselves as researchers, also help our Vinci team as well. And we want to continue making things better. And that's why we continue working on DART, and we offer new data sources. And so as these things come up and about, we'd love to let you know. And so I really want to thank you for attending today and taking the time to listen to us. And yeah, if you have any questions, let us know at Vinci. Vinci@va.gov. We'll be happy to answer your questions.
Well, thanks again, Ron, for preparing and presenting today and generally for your work at Vinci. Attendees, when I close the cyber seminar momentarily, you'll be presented with a short survey. Please take a few moments to fill out that short survey. We count on your answers to those questions to continue to bring you high-quality cyber seminars such as this one. And with that, I'll just wish everyone a good day. Thank you.